So what we're going to talk about today, if you get your Bibles out, is John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You all are familiar with this? Here we go. Is it okay if I reword it a little bit? I'll stay kind of in the text, okay? Because the word he, she, and it, okay? There's a masculine for he, a feminine for she, and a neutral for it, okay? So that whenever you see he, she, or it, it's either masculine, feminine, or neutral, right? So I'm going to use it in a neutral tense so it's not he or she, all right? However, it's written in the masculine tense, as you can see clearly. Ready? In the beginning was the Word. We all know that, right? God spoke the worlds into being, didn't he? So the beginning was the Word. So that's what was in the very beginning. God spoke. That was the very beginning, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is the Word God? The Word is God. He, it says, so I'm going to put it as the Word, okay? So the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. The Word was. All things were made through it. And without it, nothing was made that was made. In it was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, okay? Or you can say, did not comprehend him, right? Because we're talking about Jesus, aren't we? This chapter is talking about Jesus, but we're talking about the Word, right? So we're going to talk about words today and how really powerful our words really are. Because, as you know, the Bible says that life and death are where? Can you please repeat that, Liz? There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Liz. So, life and death is in the power of our tongue, is it not? I wonder if we really consider that as the truth. Do we really realize that when I speak, it's either life or death coming out of me? It's either blessing or cursing coming out of me. I'm either enhancing the quality of the world around me or I'm tearing it down. That's what the Bible says, right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose what? Life. Doesn't it say in John 6:63 that my words are what? Spirit, and they are life. Jesus said that his words were spirit and they were life, right? So Peter says, are you going to leave me also? And he goes, where are we going to go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to go, right? So what am I getting at? The power of our words. Do we really realize about our words and how powerful they really, really are? Do you know what a word is? A word is a seed, right? And your word is a little container. All of the little words that I speak are containers. And inside of them are exactly what I'm trying to accomplish with my words, right? If I say to someone like Billy Ballou here, if I said to Billy Ballou, I hate you, I'm actually trying to accomplish something with those words, aren't I? Mm-hmm. If I say, the sky is blue and the clouds are white and fluffy, I'm actually imparting something in you, right? So that you can understand something. I'm using my words to do that, right? Words are like huge. We use them to communicate everything, don't we? Just about everything. We have eyes, ears, and mouths, right? And that's normally our form of communication. We have touch too. You know, like my mom, you know, if she says, don't do that, and I didn't listen to the first words, then physical contact came next. Bang, in the back of my, don't do that. Oh, okay, got it. She got my attention, right? That's the lowest form of communication. But anyway, the point is that life and death is in the power of my tongue and is the power of your tongue. So what are we speaking, life or death in the world around us? Do you know that it's even greater than that? Go ahead and look with me real quick in 1 Peter 1:23. In 1 Peter 1:23, let's look at that. I am trying to set the stage here for a short video that I'm going to show. 1 Peter 1:23, and it says this. I'm going to do 22 and 23. Sorry, Bruce. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word is called sperma. It's the seed, right? It's when you plant the seed, a seed grows, right? And so we were born again by words. Weren't we? Weren't we born again by words? We heard words. Those words meant something to us. And we got born brand new through words. Didn't we? And through my words, I could tear you down to where you never, ever even want to come in my company again because of words that I can speak to you. Right? So I could literally speak words that would make you not even want to be around me ever again. And then we speak words everywhere in between. I saw a verse that I just really loved. Look at, where is it at? I think it's in Psalms 23. Let me look and find it in my notes. I think it's in Psalms 23. Let's just go there and I'll look. Was it Psalms or Proverbs? Well, I must not have written it down, you guys. Let me just look. Do I have Proverbs 23 up there, Bruce? Yeah, do that one, please. What is that, Proverbs 23? 22. How did I give it to you and I don't have it? Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he, which is inside of each of us. Did I have another one in 23 in Proverbs? Yeah, 16. That's what I want. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23:16. There is no 20. Oh, that's Psalms. Okay, Proverbs 23:16. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Isn't that true? When you speak right things to me, I leap on the inside of me because of what you say, because of the power of your words, right? And doesn't it say in Romans 4:17 that we are to call things that be not as though they are, right? And doesn't it say in Isaiah 55 that my words shall not return to me void, but they shall accomplish that for which I have sent them? It absolutely does, because our words are living things. You are a generator of life or death. You generate life or death all around you. Can you believe that? All right, I'm going to show you a little video, and then we're going to come back. It's a 9-minute video. Watch this. Now, I can't endorse this person. I don't know who they are. I just want you to see what's going on in this video. And if you look on the sidebar of this, this is called the Rice Experiment. And there's hundreds of them out there, okay? I encourage you to do this experiment also, okay? I'm doing this experiment right now, and Larry and Lenora, I've given them rice, and they're doing the experiment also. I would encourage you to do the experiment yourself. Now, you can do it with more than rice. You can take an apple, cut it in half, and put them in two separate containers and do this with an apple, one apple. Roy, you know who Roy Smith is? He did it with roses. He took two roses, cut them both out of his rose bush, put them in two vessels of water, did this to each vessel of water, and I'll tell you the results at the end. You'll be able to, after you watch this video, you'll know what the results are. Amen. So let's just watch this real quick, and then I'll continue to share. Bruce, will you? We just need the volume.
Today, I'd like to talk to you about a solution for the problems that you might be facing in your life, in your relationships, in your business, in your attitude, in your mindset. But first, what I'm going to share focuses upon the power and the impact of the words that you and I speak to ourselves, about ourselves, to and about other people every day. And what I'd like to do is share with you our experience with the rice experiment. Now, if you've never heard of the rice experiment, I suggest you go to YouTube and put in the rice experiment, and you can see lots of examples of what I'm about to share with you. But here's how the rice experiment works. And by the way, the reason that I use the little chattery teeth is, are our words just idle chatter? Are our words no more important than a little wind-up toy? These are lots of fun, by the way. Or do our words carry incredible power? So with the rice experiment, what you do is you boil some rice and you get two jars, sterilized jars, and a sterilized spoon, and you put some rice in each of the jars. And you put the lid on and you leave the rice. The rice in the jars that I'm about to show you, this is what we did 9 months ago. And you don't just put the rice in the jars, put them on a shelf, go away and forget about them. You write something on each jar and you do something on a daily basis to each jar. And on the first jar, which I'll show you, little clicker clacker still going away on the table. On the first jar, what you do is you write the word love. And every day, we would look at this jar of rice and we would say, I love you. You are good rice. I appreciate you. And as you can see, this rice that is now 9 months old looks like it was only cooked yesterday. And every day for the last 9 months, this rice has been told, I love you, I appreciate you, you're good rice. On the other jar, however, we wrote the word hate. Can you see how slimy and absolutely gooey and horrible this is? It's because every day we'd say, ah, you're stupid. You're the worst rice I've ever seen. I don't like you. I don't appreciate you. That's the only difference. And so one jar has had words of love spoken to it every day. The rice in this jar, and it looks like it was just cooked yesterday. The other one, ooh, look at that slimy, horrible mess. I'd be loath to remove the top. I think it would absolutely stink. This jar has been told every day, yeah, you're stupid. You're the worst rice I've ever seen. I don't appreciate you. I hate you. Folks, look at the difference between love and hate. Love looks very fresh. Looks like it was just cooked yesterday, right? Hate, gooey, slimy, horrible. Now, stop and think. So many people in life, perhaps you included, we've grown up with people telling us not loving, constructive, helpful, edifying words of love. We've been in relationships with people where they haven't used their words to encourage and to build up and to make us feel good. They've used their words to tear down and to attack and to belittle. And what about yourself? When you talk to yourself, your own self-talk, is it filled with possibility and potential? Is it filled with hope for the future? Is it so good that the dreams that you had months ago are still fresh in your mind and in your heart, just like this rice? Or on the inside, is that what you feel like? Is that what you feel like? And even more sobering, is that what you're doing to the people around you? Are you speaking so much negativity that you're just killing them on the inside? Or are you speaking words of love, words of hope, words of power, words of faith? There is a quantum physicist on the internet called Mikio Kaoku, and he talks about how everything in the universe, everything has a vibration, and that there's a cause and effect behind that. Your words that you're speaking, if our words are so powerful that they can keep one jar of rice fresh and turn another into a horrible gooey mess, stop and think. What are your words doing to you? What are your words doing to those that you work with? What are your words doing to your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter or your mother or your father or your friend, your boyfriend or your girlfriend? The rice experiment. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And after 9 months, every day I look at this, expecting this rice to go gooey and horrible like this one. But I keep on telling it, I love you. You're great. I appreciate you. This one, you're useless. You're horrible. You disgust me. Folks, that is the rice experiment, and that is the power of your words. So, I'd like to give a challenge to everybody watching this video. By all means, do the rice experiment yourself. Two jars, sterilize the jars. Use a sterilized spoon, sterilize the lids. Cook some rice, put equal amounts of rice in each jar. Write on one jar hate, write on the other jar love. Talk words of comfort, encouragement, edification to one and tell the other jar how much the rice is stupid and silly and you don't like it, and watch the difference. But here's something. For the next 30 days, use your words to build up and to encourage, to inspire and to motivate, not to tear down. Because you might just find that a lot of the problems that you have in your life, areas where you are being defeated over and over and over again, your dreams are falling flat, your finances are in trouble, your business is having problems, your relationships are going down the toilet, you might just find that if you change the way you speak, that you've been getting defeated one inch below your nose by the words that come out of your mouth. There's a solid reason why it even says in the Bible that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Start using your words to encourage, to inspire, and to uplift. Do it for 30 days. See the difference it makes. Thanks for watching this. And remember, leave a comment in the box below and be sure to check out the Rice Experiment see other people's experience with the rice experiment on YouTube. Thanks for watching this video.
Is that something or not? Sterilize the jar and the container so that you can't think that there's some kind of contamination that causes one jar to have one result and one jar to have another result. So, you know, so you guys, I'm doing this experiment, okay? And I told my wife I was doing it, but she didn't see the video. And so last night I go into the room where the rice is and I start speaking, I hate you. You're good for nothing. I don't even know why I have. She just started laughing, because it sounds stupid, doesn't it? That you'd be talking to a jar of rice. But you know what? Did you see the results? There's hundreds of videos on YouTube. If you write the word thank you on the rice, it's amazing how beautiful it is. If you write you fool on the rice, it's amazing how disgusting it turns. If you just ignore a bottle or a jar of rice and you see how bad it gets from just being ignored. You know, ignoring people really hurts them. It really hurts them when you ignore them. And all these things are actually emanating life or death from us. So I encourage you, go on and look at some videos. Do the experiment yourself. Roy and Debbie did it. They got two vases, filled them with water. Blessed one vase. Thank you, you're great water, you're blessed water, you have life in you, you carry abundant life in you, water. This other one, you're toxic, you're poison, you're good for nothing, water. Went out in the yard, cut two roses at the same degree of blooming, stuck them inside the vases. After 1 week, this one was dead. This one was going for 3 weeks. They just add a little more water and bless it every day. Do you know what? After 3 weeks, it still looked like it was brand new. They finally just tossed it because they wanted different flowers. Can you believe that? Real life stuff. So if that's the truth, which it is, what are we saying in our hearts? What are we saying to ourselves in our own hearts? What's the dialogue that goes on inside of us? Is it faith? Is it life? What is it? And the words that come out of our mouth. You know, I used to hear people say, well, I just want to tell the truth. I just call it the way I see it, right? Well, if you called that rice the way you see it, you'd be saying it's fresh the first day. Then you'd be saying it's stale. Then you'd be saying it's rotten. And then it'd just be compounding the negative because this world is cursed. So it's automatically going to be going into the negative slant all by itself without any help from us. And if you keep saying what you're seeing, you're compounding the death that is in it. So if you see somebody acting negatively, you can say what you see and label them with what you see at that moment. Or you know what you can do? You can bless them. You can say what you don't see, but what you know is true by the kingdom of God, right? You can do that. We need to have a thankful heart, speak thankful words, be grateful for things, and speak that into everything around us. Check it out. Guys, this is big and very powerful. This is complete life-altering stuff I'm talking about here. Listen, you saw the rice. Writing words on the jar, the rice literally obeyed the word. Didn't I read about the word? Listen, written words are powerful. If I gave you a word, and I wrote a word on a piece of paper, just one word on a piece of paper, and I said, you have to wear this word for 30 days. Okay? You would say one thing to me. What's the word? You'd say, what's the word? Why? Because you know whatever that word is that I'm going to have you wear for 30 days, big, great, big, across your chest, giant word. Everyone sees it because it's on the front of your shirt and on the back of your shirt, tattooed on your forehead. Everyone will see it and they'll respond to that word. You will want to know what that word is, because why? It'll make a difference to your life what that word is. If the word is pervert, how would you feel about wearing that word for 30 days? Pervert. Why not? It's just a word, you guys. It's just one word. Right? But if I wrote the word loving, and you walked around with the word loving on you, or gracious, or merciful, be very different results of what you'd get by wearing that word around. Why? Because you know that word means something. Well, spoken words and written words are alive. You are a generator of life or death by what you say in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. Because the way you speak to yourself in your heart is the way you are. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7, right? As you think in your heart, how do you think in your heart? By talking to yourself in here. So the way you've been saying, what you've been saying all of your life has been fertilizing and planting the garden of how you manifest in the earth today. The way you are that I look at you today, and what I see of you today, is an accumulation of all of your yesterdays. All of your yesterdays created the person that's in front of you today in my life. So, instead of hating what I see in the harvest of today, I can start grooming a brand new harvest in everything around me, right? Doesn't it say in Romans 4:17 that God calls things that be not as though they are, right? We called the rice what it wasn't. And the rice manifested not what's normal, but what we spoke over it, right? We superseded the law, the natural law, that everything decomposes at its own rate. We superseded that law. We added inertia to it one way, and we withdrew the inertia the other way, right? We had power over a natural law with the words that we spoke. This is amazing, you guys. So, how about your finances? Listen, you've got to be convinced that your words actually do something. When you know for a fact that when you do the rice experiment yourself or watch 100 of those videos and you start seeing the results everybody gets, you can talk over things. You can talk over people. Look, get your Bibles out. It is. It is converted. Go to James chapter 3:10. You guys, I got to tell you. You know how he gave that challenge for 30 days? I want you to know it is not easy to change the inner dialogue in your heart. You've been so habitually going down a way of your perspective of life. It's been so habitual in the way that you go that it's very difficult to get out of that rut. It takes deliberate action every day. It's like this. If I'm fat and lazy, right, and I want to start exercising, it takes a lot of inertia in the beginning to get me in the gym. A lot of self-talk, a lot of encouragement, a lot of, well, if such and such happens, then maybe I will. A lot of things to get me to do what I didn't want to do at all, because there's nothing in me, if I'm feeling liturgical, lethargical. I'm in a church, lethargical, and I feel all bloated. I don't want to go exercise. I want to go sit down and drink down something cool, right? Or eat something. I want to do the exact opposite of what I need to do. So it's the same way with our words. Look at this in James. James is talking about our tongue here and what an unruly member it is and what power it has to change the course of nature and of the ship and of our lives. And in verse 10 it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. They shouldn't be so. Now, if we don't know that our words really have a lot of power, in other words, we say things when we're mad, right? Why would we say something bad to somebody when we're mad? Our goal is to hurt them, isn't it? Our goal is to hurt them. That's why we say those things to people. So we know our words work. We wouldn't do it. But I don't think we really realize how powerful our words are. Because God created every single thing that is. Everything that is. Somebody had to speak it. They first had to imagine it in their heart. Then they had to say it and convey it in order to manifest it. Really. So if we don't have the money that we want, we can start speaking over our money. Okay, here I'm going to help. What if I'm on a fixed income and I have no possible way of getting any more money? So then I might actually believe that I can't have more money because I'm on a fixed income and they're not going to raise my check every month. But do you know what is so cool? That when you say something and take your hands off of it and don't try to control how it's going to manifest. When you plant a seed, you don't go dig up that seed every day and say, now you grow. Now you grow. I don't see you growing. You better grow. You keep digging it up. Guess what? That thing will die. If a woman got pregnant, right? She's pregnant. Right? Isn't she? It's done deal. If the seed's been planted and it took, she's pregnant. Leave it alone and let it grow. Right? You don't be going into that womb and checking it out and seeing if that baby's in there or not. You don't do that stuff, right? You leave it alone. Why? Because you trust that the seed will produce. Right? So we need to do that in the natural also. When we speak something that we want into existence, let the words, this is important, let the words be what brings it to pass. Not you laboring, wringing your hands, wondering, God, did you hear me? God, are you out there? God, are you doing it? Have I acted right? Do I have sin in my life? Am I falling short somewhere? Oh, my Lord, am I behaving right? None of that, none of it brings forth the baby, right? In fact, it could even be worse because if we know the power of our words and we know she's pregnant and we start saying, now I don't want that baby to have Down syndrome. Oh, I hope that baby's healthy. Oh, I don't want that baby to be sick or scoliosis of its spine. Oh, I don't want that baby to have some kind of blood disease. I know someone that died of leukemia. Is there a chance my baby could have leukemia? Oh, no, baby. And all that, yeah. It's going right into that womb. But you can speak blessing over that thing, can't you? How many people you hear about that speak over their babies in the womb? That sounds utterly ridiculous, but we know it works, doesn't it? It really works. So, what do you want in your life? How do you want your life to go? And you're allowed to speak life into that situation. Look at this verse. 1 Peter 3:9. Just go a little bit past James. Chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 8. Sorry, Bruce. It says, finally, all of you, be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That you may inherit a blessing. So in other words, if you bless, you receive a blessing, right? Doesn't that sound like judge not lest you be judged in Matthew chapter 7 verse 1, right? Why do you judge not lest you be judged? With the same measure that you judge, it'll be measured back to you again. Why is that so? Because you're speaking a judgment on somebody. And we're all one in the eyes of the Lord. So if I'm judging you, guess what? What I judge you is on me. It's on me too. So whatever I'm speaking about you, it's manifesting in me too. So if I bless, if I go up to Tina and I said, Tina, I bless you. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Favor is upon you, that your life is beautiful to the Lord, that when you sing, when you speak, as you live, the Lord Most High is glorified and rejoices at every moment you spend with Him. He praises every thought of you. He thinks only great things about you and desires that you succeed in every area of your life. You please the Lord. How do you think that would make her feel? How did it make you feel? Good. Right? I could say other words that she would, if I go to put my hand on her, she'd wince away and not let me even touch her, man. Don't you touch me. Huh? Do it to him. Yes, ask a question if you'd like, Liz. Good question.
There was a new endeavor that was coming up, and there was some nervousness. And a couple of times, the person praying was, Lord, don't allow any mistakes. Don't allow one mistake. Don't allow this and that. And right out of the gate, there was mistake. And I thought to myself, because I mean, it was making me nervous about that. I mean, like, why is there a focus on the mistake? And so, I mean, we should just pray positively, Lord, we're going to be successful.
Okay, let me say this. Isaiah 57:19. Bruce, you want to throw that up? So what she says is this. That she had an experience with someone who was speaking over the baby, and they said, Lord, let there be no problems. Let there be no mistakes.
It was not over a baby. It was over another circumstance.
Over another circumstance, okay? And they were speaking, God, don't let these bad things happen to this person. And they named the bad things, okay? And those bad things happen to that person. I want to teach you a principle that is vitally important that a lot of people do not recognize. Look what it says in Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips. God says He creates the fruit of our lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. God creates what you say, good, bad, or indifferent. That's why in Matthew it says that by your word. Now let's just read this real quick because I want to answer Liz's question. I think it's Matthew 12. Let me go there real quick. 36 and 37 or something like that. Let me just look.
This is the prayer was a couple of times. No mistakes.
Right.
Mistake
after mistake after mistake, right. And so look what it says here on Matthew 12, verse 33. Okay? Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. 6:36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen? So it's all on you, the way you speak. So here's the answer to her question. God has not distinguished yes or no, right or wrong. It's only subject matter. Hear me. So in other words, you don't say, I don't smoke, I don't smoke, I don't smoke. Why? Because smoking is the subject matter, right? So you'll get more of the subject. You'll get the object is going to manifest whatever the subject is, right? So whatever you're believing for God, you'll get it. You can't do the opposite and say don't or no. It doesn't work. Only the subject. So what you speak is blessing, the real thing that you want. This is important. A lot of people don't get this. This is really important. How do I make it clear? You need to say what you want, not what you don't want. You don't try to get rid of what you don't like. If you don't like it, take it out of the picture, completely out of your mind, completely out of your heart, completely out of how you decide the situation is. Make it not there. And say what you want. So when I quit smoking, I changed the picture of who I was on the inside. So the words on the inside of me changed. And I said, I didn't say, I don't smoke. I never even said that one time. You know what I said? Thank you that I have pink lungs. Thank you that I love exercising and water. Thank you that I smell good. Thank you that I got great skin. Thank you that I have a lot of breath when I run. Thank you, Lord, for making me strong and vibrant. Those are the things I said. Was cigarettes anywhere in that equation? No. So what I did was I formed a picture in my heart and my words that were what I actually wanted to manifest, right? So like right now, my wife and I are eating differently and we're not doing sugar and things like that, right? So you know what I don't say? What I don't say is, I hate this fat. I want this fat to go. I want to get rid of this fat out of my body. I do not do that. You know what I do? I say, Lord, thank you that I'm lean and muscular, that I have energy and a clear mind. Thank you that I'm physically fit and that my clothes fit beautifully. Thank you, Lord. You know that? I've even started saying, Lord, I'd like you to start preparing some finances for my new wardrobe because I'm getting to be smaller than my clothes that I have in my closet. Thank you, Lord, that I get to go shopping soon. How about that? Why? Because my life is going to follow my words. That rice followed his words. Do you get that? Whether you see it today or not, I've been doing this for what, 12 days, 14 days, 12 days, I think. And I don't see any result in my rice yet. So what, do I quit? Do I go, it doesn't work? No, his was 9 months. Some people get 3 days and they start seeing results. In 10 days, it's putrefied. It just depends. I'm not saying there's a rule to it. I'm just saying I've seen a lot of those videos. And everyone is their good rice is better looking than their bad rice. It all goes down eventually in a lot of them, but it goes down way slower in the ones that they bless. Real significant difference because of the words that they speak. Are you with me? Here's to get even better. I'm telling you, when you get a hold of this, it's been changing my life. I've been blessing my motorcycle as I ride it and thanking God for my motorcycle. I've been blessing our house and our air conditioning unit in my house. I walk in, I go, thank you for the air conditioning unit, Lord. Thank you for the cool house. We need to do that here, praise God. We waited too long, Matt. We waited way too long. Huh? You know, I'm blessing our marriage. I have a new thing that I say over our marriage because I have a desire. And so I have a, can I tell him what I say? You don't even remember, do you? Okay. Is it okay? She don't mind. So I have a new saying over my marriage. You're welcome. So, because it's both of us. So here's what I say. Here's what I say. Ready? I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I say that time, I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. After 5 minutes of driving down the road, I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I get in the front door and I go, where's my wife? I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. You know what? That makes me feel good on the inside when I say that. Remember when I read in Proverbs? What it does in your heart when you hear good words? So say those good words and let the words bring it to pass. Not my feelings and emotions and hovering over it and worrying and fretting and wondering if God's in it. Listen, the words do it. It's the words that do it. Are you with me? The seeds bring the harvest. I don't know how many ways I can say this. It's the seeds that bring the harvest, not the attitude of the farmer. Not whether the farmer got drunk the night before. It's if he put the seeds in the ground, right? That's what matters. And if the soil is prepared to receive the seeds, that's what matters. Amen? If you're bored, raise your hand. No one? Okay, good. I'll go. Mm-hmm.
And they will pick up when somebody says something like bomb, mm-hmm, or Al-Qaeda. You know, they don't hear say, I hate Al-Qaeda. It'll hear Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear bomb or something. And so I guess that's kind of the same way.
Here's what they don't hear. If you say, if you're on the phone and I'm talking to somebody and I go, yeah, I overheard a conversation where they're going to blow up this building and they've been buying bomb supplies. And all of a sudden the person is talking first person from a conversation they overheard, guess what? They're coming to you for saying those words on your phone. Your phone picked up those words, even though you're reciting what somebody else said.
So God picks up on those kind of words, like you said, because if people pray against something and then it happens, it's because God hears that.
He creates the fruit of your lips. So here's the thing. He creates the fruit of your lips. It's not a prejudice or an unprejudiced thing. It is. Listen. I'll read John 1 one more time. You need to get this. Read John 1 with me. 1:1. And read it this way. This is a big deal. It's not what you don't want. It's exactly what you believe for. It's Jesus said, if you tell this mountain to uproot itself and to plant itself in the sea, it will do what you say, right? It's very specific. The exact thing that you want is what you say, not what you don't want. So it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was your word. And the word was with God, or your word was with God, and your word was God. What? And the words that you speak are alive. They are alive. He was in the beginning with God. Your words. All things were made through your words. And without your words, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Your words. Everything is in your words. And we don't even understand how we do this. What we do without even thinking about it is looking at what is and dealing with what is as if it is the all-powerful thing. Like if you look at your bank account and there's not enough money in it, you say, I'm out of money. Instead of Thank you for provision coming from some unknown source. Thank you that I find money. Thank you that my basket is wide open to receive every good thing that wants to come my way. Lord, you're so faithful. You bless me when I'm sleeping. You're so good. Money comes to me with no effort of my own. Hallelujah. I make money just being myself, praise God. And there's nothing I have to do to worry about it. Money just comes, praise God. You know that? Say what you want. We have been so conditioned to look at what is, to say what is, instead of saying what is. Listen, if God was in heaven with Jesus and he's the Word and they were all together, right? And God goes, there's no stuff. We wouldn't be here. If he called what is, we would never be here. This world would never be here. The universe would never be here. It wasn't here. And he spoke it into existence, right? This has got to sink in to us. It'll change the course of our lives. We decide what reality we live in. If you say things that are so far-fetched that your mind and heart cannot possibly conceive it's true, then you're outreaching yourself. It's like Matt going and buying 65 ton of seed for a harvest. Not tons, not 65 tons of seed. You know that? Because he hasn't got the ground to put it into. Yeah, he'll find a way. He would. Maybe that's a bad example. Yes, yeah, sweet. My wife wants to say something.
CPS, it's okay. They can hear me. When I was being trained as a CPS, they told us the same thing. Exactly the example as far as like if you want to quit smoking, you don't focus on the actual. The negative of what? That's really loud. Of the negative, like you want to focus on what are the benefits. So what is the benefits of you quitting smoking, and then that's what the focus should be on, because the Word says that God gives us the desires of our heart. So if that's truthfully our desire, you don't focus on what it is that you don't want, because it already sets a precedent for negativity in your conscience. So you want, or in your mind, you don't want to ever start with a negative. That's like when you want to praise someone or maybe correct them, you always tell them all the good things first, and then you say, but as a matter of fact, you know, you need to address this. You always want to focus on the positive because it's easier for that. So in your question that you said, you know, the one thing that I'm not hearing is that the truth is that we're sons of God. And could you imagine Jesus praying that prayer? Could you imagine Jesus praying that prayer to the Father? Yes or no? It's yes or no?
No.
Okay. Then
the one prayer, about the baby, we don't want bad things
right,
to happen.
Don't make it, so if we are children of God, and we are his offspring, then why would we even pray anything like that? You know, it's almost like this embeddedness that we have to automatically focus on the negative. In fact, Robert and I have been having this conversation about the words that do come out of our mouth, the things that we just say unconsciously because we just say it because we're just, I don't know, it's just the things we say. We don't even really know what we're saying, but we're just saying them. So in that, if I'm truly the Son of God, or daughter of God, would Jesus be praying that prayer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So then why are we praying prayers like that?
Does it affect us when someone else is praying that within our earshot? Or someone saying things? Like I have somebody who is sitting next to me at work all the time speaking negatively.
But your identity is in Christ. So anything else God.
Right. So, yeah. So if you're hearing the words, they do have an effect on you. But you have a voice inside of you, and your voice overrides their voice. Just like this. What God says is true overrides what I say is true. In other words, God said that it's Jesus' blood that paid the price for my sins, right? I can't say my good works pay the price for my sins. It won't overrule what God said, that no, it's the blood of Jesus. I can want it to be something other than the blood of Jesus all I want. But God said it's the blood of Jesus. He overrules me. I'm a small g. He's a big G, right? So therefore, I can say things that create. But he only gives me the sandbox of this world. He gets all of it, okay? I only get the sandbox of this world. I'm learning to be like him walking through this world. And what Doreen is saying that is we're sons and daughters of God, and we realize it, our speech will be homologia. We'll say the same thing he says, right? And as we say the same thing he says, we get his results, right? Did Jesus lack food for the 5,000 people? He sure did in the beginning. There was no food. There was a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. You know what? Thank God it wasn't Wonder Bread. Okay, you guys didn't even get that. So he had a few loaves of, bum, bum, bum. So he had a few loaves of fishes. What did he do? What did Jesus do? He went outside the box of what is and thanked the Father. He was thankful for what he had and multiplied it, right? The water into wine. How many healings that manifested? You know, we need to really see that we are outside of the parameters of the natural laws of this world. Now, they govern us until we're in faith and can operate in a higher law than they operate in, right? Don't we do that with darkness and light? Light, the law of light, overrules the law of darkness. Darkness exists, period. It's everywhere. Darkness is everywhere all the time. The only way there is no darkness is if there is light. But you take the light out and there is always darkness. Darkness is, but light overrules darkness, right? Aerodynamics, gravity always works. But the law of aerodynamics, lift plus thrust, if it's greater than load plus drag, it will fly, right? Because of the way this atmosphere is. This world has a natural way of operating. But we can supersede the natural law by creating, by believing in our hearts and speaking out of our mouths. Not using this world as a gauge on what we can say. You can't use this world to determine what you're allowed to say and not allowed to say. It has to be God, the Word of God, that says, because he's above this world. His words are above our words. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, aren't they? So, bringing it home, then I'll turn you loose. If you have a coworker that's not your favorite person, what do you do? Ask to be moved? Get another job? No, you start blessing that person. You start saying, this is my favorite person. I think this person is so good. Lord, I just pray for every problem they have in their life that it would be solved. I pray for every need that they have that it would be met. I pray for every hurt and wound that they have carried that they be healed. I pray that their health vibrate through their body, that life is imminent and present with them always, that at night they have dreams and visions of a quality life of loving friends and family. You speak that over a real booger of a person, right? Bless those who curse you. Bless those who revile you. Bless those who hate you. Because we were called to bless, right? We are the effect. We are affecting the world around us. We cause life to come into presence. We cause it. We cause it. And if we don't have the attitude of causing it, we will be the victim of whatever's going on. It'll just suck us right on in, right? It will, but we have the authority to make a difference. And here's the thing. It's not based on where my life is at today, what I've lived through, what my resources are, what my education is, what my gender is, what my age is. It has nothing to do with any of that. Do I have a voice? Will I use it? That's it. So I put a challenge out to you that I'm taking on myself for the next 30 days, that you bless whatever you can bless. You lay hands on things and you bless them. You bless your food. You bless your refrigerator. You bless your bank accounts. You bless your car. You bless your gasoline. You bless. Does this sound crazy, extravagantly crazy? It sounds fanatical, doesn't it? Only in the beginning, while it's hard, you got to put a lot of energy in it. But after you do it a while, your neural nets will start building it into you, and it will become second nature to you, that you will bless. I'm telling you, I have a hard time cursing my rice. I'm having a real hard time cursing my rice, because I just haven't got those words in me anymore. So I say them, but they sound foolish. You guys have the same problem? They're doing it too. It's tough to curse because I've been saying good things for so long. It is. You know what? To change the way I see myself and how I perceive myself, just do an experiment. Like I did with Tina, just say great, phenomenal things over yourself and over the people you're around, and just see what happens, right? Because your words work. Amen? I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for your words. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you that you've put these principles into place, Lord Jesus, and that the word works. That when we say the same thing you do, when we speak life, we get life. When we speak death, we get death. Father, I just thank you for the life that comes out of every soul that can hear my words. That every person can speak life and blessings. And I just thank you that you create the fruit of our lips. Make us acutely aware of the fruit of our lips, Lord, so that we can sow a harvest in agreement with the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.